with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Welcome back. My pleasure to introduce to you David Nabhan. He's the science columnist for the Times of Israel, a great newspaper in Israel, in the Middle East. And David has written a piece, I'm sure he's written probably more than one, talking about the rise of virulent anti-Semitism that, to the surprise of many, has found a home both apparently among some people, not all, some people on the campuses of Harvard and MIT. David Nabhan, welcome to Nightside.
Thank you, Dan, for having me. It's a great pleasure to share some words with your audience.
Well, this is a subject that we talk about on Nightside a lot. I don't know if you know some of the folks here in Boston, but Jeff Robbins, who's a syndicated columnist and former head of the Anti-Defamation League here in Boston. This has percolated up surprisingly on the left when you and I, well, when I was young, the virulent anti-Semitism resided on the far right in this country. But it has relocated in a large portion to the other extreme, on the other end of the spectrum. What do you make of this? First of all, why does it continue to exist? Which I don't understand. I don't happen to be Jewish, by the way. I happen to be.
No, neither am I. I'm half Lebanese, actually. I write for the Times of Israel, which. But I think the underlying dynamic, you're right. It's not right. It's left. And it's kind of embarrassing to say it, but the staggering percentage of young college age students in the U.S. that are frighteningly unskilled and mind-blowingly uninformed is shocking. I mean, there's studies that show that close to half are supposedly incapable of changing a tire or sewing on a button or boiling an egg. And, they don't know that whether Africa is a city, a continent, or a country. So getting such an ill-schooled population to buy into the putting a keffiyeh around their neck and screaming about everything is a Jew's fault, as it turns out, isn't that hard.
Yeah.
And feckless college administrators in the U.S. have gone along with it. They've surrendered to it. They've dumbed down their curricula. There's math and foreign language courses that even great universities have been lightened or done away with, and ridiculous stuff taking their place, like classes in Klingon culture and arguing with Judge Judy and other nonsense like that. So the powers that be in academia have they're responsible for this. It's the attack on Jewish students is shocking. At Harvard, 60% of Jewish students say they've experienced virulent anti-Semitic harassment, and it's at MIT, same thing. They're being sued by the Brandeis Center. So the federal government's moving in. They're not going to stand for this. The American people shouldn't stand for it. And if colleges have better get their act together, they're going to face incredible funding problems.
How much of this is the fault of maybe our culture, Western culture, and also public schools, high schools in this country who never get to World War II, never get to portions of history that every American should understand. And I believe that there are kids who are graduating from high school who have no idea about the Holocaust or think that the Holocaust is some sort of a movie that Meryl Streep starred in at some point.
You're absolutely correct. It starts in elementary and middle and in high school. I was for 2 decades. I was a Los Angeles public school teacher in South Central Los Angeles for 2 decades. And our schools are sticking with blaming everything on society and not the failing system itself. There's no such thing, for example, for bad writing. When that happened, they introduced inventive spelling. That steps in. Just write anything you like, and oh, you did it right, and there's a good grade. Math is children have ceased learning the times tables, and there's the further surrender is there. You know, no tiresome memorization in math. Math itself is racist anyway, according to the Seattle school system and dozens of other of the largest school districts. So math books have been replaced with balls and whistles and dice and other manipulatives for the students to play around with and maybe learn something or maybe not. But you're absolutely correct. They meaning 20-year-olds, they don't know when they think the United States was the revolution was fought in 1930. that we won our independence from Mexico.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
I want to tell you one true story. I was a television reporter for 31 years at the CBS affiliate in Boston. My audience probably gets tired of me saying that, but I was a hard-charging reporter from my mid-20s to my mid-50s. And one weekend, when I was a relatively young reporter, we were sent out on an early Sunday morning. Some virulent anti-Semite had scrawled a swastika on the side of a brick building in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Now, if you're familiar with Wellesley, it's one of our upper, middle-class suburbs, which, of course, is the home of Wellesley College, the college from which Mrs. Clinton, former Secretary
of State. Yeah, it's very famous
university. So as I was standing there that morning, my cameraman, my videographer was taking pictures of the swastika, and it was a big swastika that this person had painted on a wall. A car came up, and it was very quiet on Sunday morning, and it was a mom and a daughter who obviously was September, and they were obviously, she was obviously a Wellesley College student, North Carolina plates, so no problem. So I asked the young woman, who was probably, 18 or 19, and I said, They displayed some curiosity, and I said, "Well, let me ask you, what's your reaction to what is on that wall?" And this young woman, who clearly we found out later was a freshman at Wellesley College, she looked at it somewhat quizzically, and she said, "Yes," she says, "I think I've seen that before."
Yeah.
And she said to me, "That's the Swahili, correct?"
Yeah, she didn't even know what it was.
No, it was the Swahili. And I said to her, "No, that's a language from Africa. That's a swastika." And this is probably, I'm guessing, circa early 1980s. So this trend in schools across America, dumbing down students and, graduating people, social promotion or whatever, even amongst the best and the brightest, has been going on for a while, David.
It's happening even at Harvard and MIT, which is shocking. Yeah. Unbelievable.
How can folks follow your writing in the Times? And a lot of folks who come on this show have written a book. If you wanted to reintroduce yourself to the audience, feel free. How can they get in touch? And how can they follow your work?
Well, my column at Newsmax is Shaking Up Science, and at the Times of Israel, Tectonic Shifts. I'm also a science fiction writer, and my latest is Thin Walker, a sci-fi novel that takes place in the 30th century. Everything is linked or accessed at my website at www.earthquakepredictors.com. That's earthquakepredictors.com.
David, thank you very much. God knows where we're going to be in the 30th century. I fear to think of it, actually. But with people like you, scholars like you around, presenting what is actually truth, eventually I think people are going to be intrigued and realize what perhaps they've missed and what their grandchildren should not miss. And I hope that we can get sort of a counter-revolution going in public schools across America. David Nabhan.
Well, I do appreciate you the chance to have a word with your massive listenership. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Well, I'd love to have you back, and maybe we'll do it some night. We'll do an hour, and we'll take phone calls as well. And more,
that'd be great.
The longer form, okay? Thank you very much, David.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bye.